Now, Jim, show this gentleman how you can dance and sing.
That's my attitude towards the Western powers. If you want to say there's no rules, fine. Don't go crying for your mummy when that comes.
America today finds herself in a unique situation. She's the only country in history in a position to become involved in a bloodless revolution.
If America does not respond creatively to the challenge to banish racism, some future historian will have to say that a great civilization died because it lacked the soul and commitment to make justice a reality for all men.
When the system doesn't work for the majority of the people, you gotta change the system.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, it's your brother, Brian Mary Keats. Welcome to this Class War Betterfield podcast segment. I've been trying to figure out how best to explain to people what capitalism really is, because most people are really, really in denial about what capitalism is. And I think a lot of their denial has to do with genetic memories that go back thousands of years, blah, blah, blah. Life now is considerably better than it was 100 years ago. Better than it was 200 years ago, 300 years ago, 400 years ago, 800 years ago. Especially 120 years ago, 100 years ago. A family, you know, I don't know the information for black families, but I do know about white families. It wasn't unusual for a family to actually have 8, 10, 12, 15 kids. However, half of those would die, usually by the age of 10. So yes, if you're just looking at capitalism on the level, just on the surface, capitalism is better because life is better. But the question is, really, is it? Is life really better? Is this the best that we could have done? Given what white people had before them. And this is the question that most people do not ask. When white folks came out of Europe, they had the world. They had the world. Not only, you know, did they have the world as it relates to just stuff that they could extract from the planet, but they also had people, they had know-how, they had wisdom that had been built up for tens of thousands of years. The world that we live in today, is it the best that we could have hoped for? No, it's not. Not even close. And the reason is because of capitalism. Capitalism, at its basis, says that money flows upward. Capitalists do not believe that money should ever flow downward, that the people who are making that wealth possible should actually benefit overtly from it. Capitalists say that they should only benefit overtly from it, that they should get the greatest reward from that work. But I digress. The people who are in denial don't want to admit any of this. But I think I've figured out a way to sidestep their illusions. Because something has been revealed over the last 15 years that is stunning. And I think if we were to look at it earnestly, we would have to say that these actions are, in fact, the natural response of a capitalist. And in it being a natural response, it actually is a microcosmic look at what capitalism is in the macro sense. Here's what I'm talking about. Over the last 15 years, we have been presented undeniable internal proof, meaning information that has been revealed from inside companies, that massive fraud was going on. Now, I am specifically here talking about one sector. You would think that I'm going to talk about banking, but I'm not. Because there's something far more egregious than what the bankers have done. Even though the bankers were involved in what I'm about to talk about too. The 2009 crash was due to a whole host of lies and fraud-based actions that thousands and tens of thousands of people knew on some level. The lower you went in the company, I suppose the less they knew because, you know, compartmentalization. They knew that what they were doing was wrong. And that what they were doing was fraudulent. And that it shouldn't be done. But despite the pain and damage caused by the housing crash, there's actually another sector that will ultimately, thanks to their fraud, have a worse impact on the society. And we know that what they were doing is fraudulent. And we know that what they were doing was deliberately misleading the public. And that sector is the oil sector. The fossil fuel sector. We know that many of these oil companies have known since the 60s. From their own internal documents. We don't have to speculate. We don't have to guess. We know, and I suspect if we looked even further, we would find evidence of them working with banks and other folks in the capitalist order to suppress any kind of technology that stopped people from using more and more and more and more petroleum. But we know that they knew since the 60s that climate change was likely real. That the carbon dioxide that they were pumping into the air was having an adverse effect on the planet, on the climate. We also know that they decided, as soon as they could prove it, that this was indeed happening, that they decided to take a course of action. And that course of action wasn't just to lie about what they were doing, but to convince the public that they should mistrust the scientists that were presenting the evidence and saying, this is what is actually happening. We know because of their own internal documents. This isn't me conspiracizing here, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who think, oh, well, conspiracy theories are just false. Ladies and gentlemen, this that I'm talking about here 20 years ago would have been considered a conspiracy theory. Conspiracy theories are not wrong. Nor are they false, nor should they be non-believed. There's all kinds of conspiracies that indeed do happen. Conspiracy isn't a poisonous word. Half of capitalism, I'm sorry, did I say half? 90% of capitalism is about conspiracies. It's always been about conspiracies. It will continue to be about conspiracies. Alec is a conspiracy. We typically find out what Alec does. That's the American Legislative Exchange Council. But we find out about it after the fact, meaning what? It took place in the dark. We didn't know what was actually happening until it happened. That's a conspiracy, ladies and gentlemen. Conspiracies aren't wrong. Talking about conspiracies aren't wrong. Conspiracy theories are not poisonous. They happen. But the same people who are running around saying that conspiracies are just crazy, they're nuts, are the same ones actually creating conspiracies. Now, not all conspiracies are right. And not all conspiracies, just because they are said, has any element of truth to them. But as I keep telling I've told a couple of my InfoWar following friends, I don't know if they're InfoWar following friends anymore, told them this 5 years ago. You know, all you guys want to talk about these huge, gigantic Bill Gates putting chips in your brain and stuff like that. There's actually conspiracies that's happening, and these conspiracies are robbing you every day of your livelihoods. But you don't want to deal with that, because then that would mean questioning the capitalist order. And you and your boy Alex Jones are capitalists. So the real conspiracies you want nothing to do about. Or do with, because if you had to deal with those conspiracies, that would mean that you would have to start tearing apart the system. And you ain't about that. These carbon-based companies who claim to be the creme de la creme of capitalism, they lied. They not only lied, but they lied about lying so they could continue to keep lying. They didn't only lie about lying so they could continue to keep lying, but they lied so convincingly that they had many lies going at the same time. And the result of their lies was this world lost nearly two generations. Ladies and gentlemen, I will say that again. In fact, I can't even say nearly. This world lost two generations of acting responsibly in stopping this crap. People often say, oh, the greatest generation, World War II, the greatest generation, World War II. The people who would have started this campaign of lying would have, by their very age, been born either when the 1920s, the 1930s, and the 1940s, and the 1950s. Do you see something here? These people would have been part of the World War II generation, and ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, do you know what they did with the information that they were given? We just talked about it. If these are your heroes, I fear to God to see the people who you call your enemies. Because say what you want to about the socialists that these capitalists hate. Say what you want to about the anarchists that these capitalists hate. And I'm not talking about the ones today who ain't got an idea about economy. These people who think ripping apart a society is anarchy. Dummies. Say what you want to even about progressives. And I've said a lot critical about progressives. If these people, if those folks, those socialists in the bunch were given the opportunity to actually solve this problem with the type of resources that big oil has internationally, and they were given this back in the 1960s, we would be living in a drastically different society and world right now. The conservatives in capitalism screwed this one up. Because it was in their best interest, to not fix it. is this the best system? I've been listening to Mark Blythe over the last 6-7 months, and Mark Blythe, one of the best Main Street economists that we have out there right now, does it with the kind of vigor that you wish all economists would do, and with the understanding that if you can get across your explanation to somebody down at the pub, down at the bar, then you actually understand what you're talking about. So, you know, he's a man I've quoted. I like Mark Blythe. One of the things that he has said a lot lately is, you know, there's nothing, capitalism is really the order of the day. There's nothing that has proven itself to organize the world in a much better way. Yeah, he's right. He's right. The problem is, there's people who haven't allowed that to happen. There's people who haven't allowed that to happen. They haven't wanted there to be anything that was outside of capitalism to organize the international community. And in fact, when something tried coming about, when people tried renegotiating everything back in the 1950s and 60s and 70s, the capitalist order, which is really built on old imperialist models, said no. So now you have an outdated structure trying to manage a rapidly changing society and global networking system. The result of a system lasting far too long, far beyond its usefulness, is apathy. And you see apathy. Moreover, the result of a system lasting far past its use-by date is competition that is zero-sum. Capitalism will kill this planet. And it'll kill this planet for the same reason that we are now looking at what I heard one economist say may be the last pillaging of Western societies by Arab oil companies. Because profit motive is king. Now, I don't want to lose the original point, because this is far too important for us to skip over this. Why is it that I'm saying that the oil companies are really define what capitalism is at a macro level? Because when faced with temporary loss of profit, when faced with temporary loss of profit, in order to ensure the future, in order to reconfigure the company to ensure the future and to create future profits, these people chose to put humanity's right of existence in jeopardy instead of losing those profits. Do you understand how big that is? We became angry, we became upset over the big banks taking people's homes, falsifying documents to take people's homes, selling people trash mortgages, knowing that they were trash mortgages. We became angry because of that. Especially because we saw what it did to these, to community after community after community after community. We are now becoming equally angry right now as these same institutions working with vulture capitalists swoop in to pick up homes, businesses, apartment buildings in these communities, which they themselves a decade earlier helped to ruin. And we are rightfully angry about that. And in fact, there needs to be Occupy 2.0 to put the boot on these people's neck. If we don't stop them now, they ain't going to stop. They don't know how to stop. But we are equally, and I give the Sunrise Movement a lot of credit for this. And I give the Water Protectors a lot of credit for this. We should be equally pissed off at these big multinational corporations who give a damn about money, but give no damns about us. The oil companies help you, should help you see what capitalism is really about. It is not about life. It is not about happiness. It is not about destiny, which is fulfillable by all people. It is about death. It is about extraction. It is about destroying what is natural and leaving it in a poisonous state. That's what they're about. And if you don't believe me, all you got to do is a little bit of research into the history of how these people have left the sites which they have utilized. This is capitalism. It's the same organization, or excuse me, these are the same organizations that tell us not to believe in government, not to believe in anything structural that will actually help the communities which they are devastating. They are the same organizations that tell us that we need to give them more power. We should not have government that's there to regulate these big corporations. That's what these oil companies tell us. We should not have government there to help look at the impact of these big corporations. That's what these oil companies tell us. We should not have government there that's going to force them to clean up the messes which they themselves make in pursuit of their profits. That's what these oil companies have been telling us. And these are the same ones that tell us that we shouldn't have any scientists, whether at the governmental level or the academic level, that challenges their lies. That's capitalism, ladies and gentlemen, 100%. You can question it if you'd like, but look at what they've done. You cannot say that they have not done this. And these people have not been punished, and they haven't been punished because conservatives are still running around talking about protecting private industry while private industry is not talking about protecting their family. That's capitalism. And the people who do not want to believe it, keep your head in the sand all you want. But there's going to come a day when it's going to be your children that look at you and say, what the hell were you doing? And in fact, it may not be your children. There was an interesting story that I came across a little bit over a year and a half ago now. Child, I believe she was 10, 11. she couldn't vote. Very engaged in the fight for the environment. Grew up in the country. And by the way, I probably should tell you this. I came across this story. I didn't come across this story. This was a friend of mine that I knew from my old times living out in the country. I was talking to her about the coming elections. And this is living in New York. You know, our voting was coming up several months later. But a friend of both of ours who lived, I don't know, she lived in the Midwest somewhere. And we were talking about stuff, and we happened to start talking about people who we went to school with, what they were doing, and this person came up, and we were talking about their kids, and it was shocking, because I knew some of their kids. I knew them when they were toddlers, and, you know, now they're 13, 14, and 10, and there's a couple that I haven't met. It was a 10-year-old, 10 or 11. Can't remember how old she was. The person who we were talking about is a moderate. They're a moderate. They vote both Democratic and Republican, but most of the people who they support tend to be on the more conservative side. And their little girl, apparently, 10 years old as she is, involved in, you know, very concerned, should I say, not involved in, but very concerned about the environment and has always been concerned about the environment. They live in the country out west, so it's understandable. Well, this little girl, mommy was going to vote. Mommy and daddy were both going to vote in the Democratic primary. And they were talking with each other about that. And their little girl, 10 years old, came in and asked who they were going to support. And apparently, mommy and daddy had decided to either support Pete Buttigieg or Klobuchar, I think, was the two that they were aiming for. And this little girl told her parents, nope, you're not. And both of them were like, yeah, ha, 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 yeah, we are. And that little girl said, no, you're not. This is my future. I need you to vote for Bernie Sanders. Well, I'm glad you need us to do that, but we're not going to. Okay. Here's the thing, Mom and Dad. Go ahead, vote for him. But you've done nothing to stop what's happening. And neither one of them people seem like they want to either. So I need you to vote for Bernie Sanders. This only stuck out to me because I had heard on YouTube about a little girl, probably around the same age. Actually, I think she was older. I think she could actually vote. So it would have been a young lady, young woman, who did the same thing, but did it to her grandparents, who said, look, I love you. I really do. But I can't come here if you ain't going to vote for somebody who's going to clean up the mess that you've left us. I can't, because you're letting me down. You're letting me down. You are letting me down. Do you hear me? You. Well, I'm sorry you feel that way. I remember that video going. I'm sorry you feel that way. No, I don't feel that way. It's the correct way to think. You've told me this. You've told me about morals. You've told me about decency. You've told me about caring about people. You've told me about fighting for what I believe in. You've told me about doing what's right. And you are going to back somebody who has no plan about any of this. You're hypocrites. And I can't be around hypocrites. Why? Because you told me that too. Don't be around people who are hypocritical. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm definitely not advocating the idea of separating families based on who you're going to vote for and who you're not going to vote for, even though a lot of that's already happening. But what I'm saying is this. That's just a story. Or both of those are just things that are intriguing to me right now. I need you to stay focused. Because ultimately, we are going to have to convert some people. And we are going to have to work to convert them by proving to them that the way they see capitalism is incorrect. And the way that they see capitalism is incorrect. It's beyond incorrect. Stupefyingly incorrect. And I think the way that you do that is by taking something like these oil companies and putting them in front of people's face and saying, was this wrong? Now, most conservatives are going to say, yes, that's wrong. That's what they're going to say. It's wrong. It's incorrect. There should have been punishment. Well, then you got to ask them, why wasn't there? Why wasn't there? That's where you get them. That's where you get them. Because they have no answer. And if they give you one, it's going to be, well, because government is useless. Government never does anything that's right. But wait a minute. You've been working now for 40 years to tear down government. You've been working now to tear down what Steve Bannon calls the regulatory state. What the hell do you think the regulatory state does? The regulatory state makes sure that these fools aren't doing exactly what they've done. That these criminals don't get to be criminals. And that you hold them accountable. You have ripped out the part of the government that does that, and then you turn around and you blame the government for not doing the tasks which you have now deprived it of the ability of doing. So you're going to then blame the government for what you've done? Well, yes, I guess the government is of and by and for the people, and you are people, and you have done this to the government on your behalf. Well, that's great. But you can't get pissed off at the result of it. Oh, well, I didn't know. Ignorance is not an excuse. Because there were people telling you for the last 40 years that this was going to be the result. And because of your ego and you thinking that you knew it all, you didn't want to listen. So now, here's how you redeem yourself. And see, ladies and gentlemen, in another phase of my life, I wanted to be a teacher and still kind of want to be a teacher. And I often tell people, there's no partial credit. No. You want to redeem yourself now? You don't get partial credit. You either go all in or you get no credit. You either change your mind completely based on the facts. I ain't asking you to believe me. I'm asking you to believe the facts. And if you cannot believe the facts, that means you are not sorry. That means you are still working to do the damage which you set out to do, and you are then the problem. And I don't have time for you if you're going to be on that track. So you got to kind of get at them and make them face their shame. And that's what all this has been about. We are going to, and I suspect it's going to get a lot more intense. We're going to have a lot more of these conversations with people who we love and people who we don't necessarily care for. Because now, the idea of climate change can't be denied. The reason for it, oh man, that's deniable because of this, the work that these corporations have done. But even that's going to pass away soon. Because once when there's real consequences, once when people are en masse losing homes and people are starting to notice that crop yields are going down and things like that, once when that really starts to impact day-to-day the lives of these hardcore capitalist conservatives who aren't wealthy and who can't just go to another villa overseas, that's when reality's really going to hit them. And they're going to start to see that they were sold a bill of goods that was rotten. You kind of started seeing this after January 6th. One of the clips that was making the rounds after January 6th. It's funky how that's now just a thing. Like 9/11 became a thing. After January 6th. one of the clips that was making the rounds, I think it was either that night or the day after, on C-SPAN, was this woman who called up, and she was crying. And she was like, you know, I can't believe that I was such a fool believing this and all of this and blah, 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 and yada, yada, yada. And it's like, okay, yeah, mm-hmm, you got tears. All right, let's see how sorry you are after the fact. Mm-hmm. See, because when your kids are dying from asthma or cancer or whatever they got because of all of this junk that has been put into the environment, yes, you may cry. But are you going to change the way you think so other kids don't die like yours? No, probably not. And therein lies the problem. When something happens to me, I learn from it. When something happens to you, you blame other people and you don't learn from it. I know some of you might say, well, wait a minute, isn't that hypocritical? Because you blaming some people right now. Yeah, but that is based on information. That's based on fact. So I'm putting the blame where it needs to be. Those folks don't put the blame where they need to be. That's the difference. One's off of facts. One's off of, I've done nothing wrong. All right, y'all. Questions, comments, concerns, reach out to me. I'm your brother, Vimer Adiz. See you on the next one, y'all. Peace. There's a shadow on the faces of the men who sent the guns to the wars that are fought in places where their business interest runs. On the radio, talk shows, and the TV, you hear one thing again and again: how the USA stands for freedom, and we come to the aid of a friend. But who are the ones that we call our friends? These governments killing their own, or the people who finally can't take anymore, and they pick up a gun or a brick or a stone.